Hello, welcome again to Comic Connoisseurs. Tonight we'll be talking about The Three Jokers, the event that's been teased for years, with a very weird story about Batman sitting in a New God chair, ending with, well, not really ending, but continuing with a whimper, I should say. You heard some of my co-hosts, JT from Saskatoon.
Oh, this isn't going to be that funny.
Also, this is Red Ink.
I know how he got these scars.
I know how he got these.
Well, we're all going to have new mental scars after this. Before we get into the Three Jokers specifically, the event Ben was referring to was the last big arc that Geoff Johns wrote when he was writing the original New 52 Justice League, which featured the death of Darkseid by hand of his unknown secret daughter, whose mother was an Amazon from Themyscira. And along the way, is it Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, The Flash, and Captain Marvel, or Shazam, as the lawsuits are telling us to call him now, all become empowered in different ways and basically become new gods. And one of the things that happened was they got Metron, the new god of knowledge, removed from the Mobius chair, which ties into the plot, which would take way too long to explain. And Batman sits on it and he gets, infinite knowledge. And it goes through that. And one of the things he asked the chair was, what is the real identity of the Joker? We find out at the end of the DC Rebirth Zero, or the number one issue, which kicked off the rebirth of the DC universe and elements from pre-52 were folded back into continuity. The chair tells him there are three Jokers, and we see three images of the Joker on the back computer. There is the current, shaved head in the sides, the guy that got his face cut off Joker. We have the Killing Joke Joker, and we have the classic clown prince of crime, thinking from, was it Batman 290-something, the Joker's five-way revenge issue from way back in the day, which was a big reintroduction for him. And that was 4 or 5 years ago at this point, and they're just now finally getting to tell this story.
Show of hands, how many people think that they're just now telling the story because they just now came up with a story?
This is true. So, this issue starts with Batman coming back to the Batcave, art written by Geoff Johns, art by Jason Fabrock, who did the art on the Darkseid War storyline that Johns was writing there in Justice League.
He's and trying really hard to do his Not Gibbon style, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think he's really trying to ape that. I think it's just a coincidence that it kind of looks like that, but whatever. Batman goes back to the Batcave, and I was telling Ben this before the show, possibly the most scarred version of Bruce Wayne we've ever seen in comics, which I forget what you said that about that, Ben. This is something they just tend to do or overuse.
It's been a trope. There was an issue. The trope actually began in the Silver Age, an issue of Brave and the Bold, the one where Batman and Catwoman get married, in fact. In that issue, Batman's in an infirmary after saving Catwoman from a flaming arrow, and he has a shirt off, and she walks in on him, bandaging himself, and she's like, "Oh my God!" And Batman's like, "Oh, the scar tissue. Yeah, that happens," and we don't see it, but there was there's a visible reaction from her seeing it. It's been done over and over again. I remember it done very prominently with Batman Black and White, I think, and also the Batman single issue special that Alex Ross did the scarred Batman as well. It is a trope, Batman having like horrible, hideous scars all over his body. It is a trope.
Well, I'm not saying Batman shouldn't have scars, but the way Fabrock is drawing him here, it looks like he's trying to one-up Mr. Zazz in terms of a body count. I don't know. What did you think about this first initial scene in the comic, Red?
I don't know. It doesn't have meaning. There's an old saying, when you make a script, every scene has to have a meaning. That's why there's a cutting room floor. If something shouldn't be there, they cut it out. And I don't know if they're trying to establish the connection between Batman and the Joker somehow. Because the way they present the scars, all of a sudden, it's a bunch of Joker scars at the end.
And at the end, they also try to imply that they showed the scars of Barbara Gordon and the scars of Jason Todd. So they're trying to tie the scars together. The problem is the initial Batman scene is so long, while the subsequent Barbara Gordon and Jason Todd scenes are are two panels, that it's like, why did you linger on Batman?
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes sense to show Barbara's. Sorry, Red.
I was gonna say thank you for your insight, Red.
Oh, sorry, Red. Go ahead, Red. Sorry.
No, I'm done.
I mean, it makes sense to show Barbara because it's one of the most damaging injuries the Joker's ever dealt to the Bat family. There's, you know, and then you see what probably rolls through Jason's head on a constant loop is the Joker, you know, backhand or forehand with the beating. Cause no wonder he's in the mood all the time. But yeah, the Bruce went on too long. It's like, yeah, 90% of his scars are probably from the Joker. But what was the point of showing, yeah, he's scarred. He's incredibly physically fucked up because of his villains. No shit. But then we find a dead Red Hood, who I thought was supposed to be Alfred for a second. I don't know.
For me, what bugged me is that for the 100th time, we have to see the fucking Waynes die. Like, everybody loves a good old Wayne killing.
Especially Geoff Johns, apparently. And again, that's something that it doesn't make sense other than to reiterate, you know, Batman's, you know, and I will spend the rest of my life warring on all criminals trope. I guess there's a quota Johns has to meet with this stuff.
One thing, too, Johns kind of fucks up with, it shows Bruce as a kid, and he's like, oh, this is the greatest movie ever made, as they're leaving. In Batman Mythos, there's two ways that they leave the theater. It's usually either Bruce gets upset, and he doesn't like the movie, he gets scared. Or two, his father wants to beat traffic, and they leave the movie early.
That's more from the films than anything. In most of the comic retellings of the Wayne's death, it's they come out of the movie theater just fine. Bruce has a new film favorite, and bang, bang. It's more so the, like, there's a murder, like, Baker's does in a way to portray Joe Chill, where he's either like, give me the goods, or the kid gets it, or something. And we get, I don't think they've ever shown Joe Chill like this, give me your cash. You know, like, he's nervous for some reason, which I think is John's way of playing into, he has it in that news report says, you know, the Moxon crime family was implicated in the murder of Thomas and Martha Wayne. And again, every author... Sorry, you go, Red.
Sorry to interrupt you. I'm just saying that, to me, the only reason why they're bringing the origin up is they're trying to tie it to Joker somehow. Either Joe Chill is Joker, one of the Jokers, or Joe Chill was probably bullied to do it by one of the Jokers.
That could work. I mean, you know, we go through Barbara, and apparently, I don't know if anyone, like, just normal Olympic athletes like that could run on a treadmill so hard that, you know, she'll break one, not alone, not the least of which multiple treadmills, as they imply there. Which doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense, because human beings can't do that. You have something called What the fuck is that acid that builds up in your muscles that stops you?
Lactic acid.
Lactic acid, yes. You get tired. It's one of the reasons, if you ever watch professionals, like if you ever watch the Olympics, the runners there will run incredible fucking speeds, but as they do the whole fucking course, they go slow, and then they'll give it their all right at the fucking end. You can't just keep going as fast as possible.
No, it's like you break something before you break the treadmill. I mean, the only way she would break a treadmill is if they were already faulty to begin with.
Like, one of the things is Captain America doesn't develop lactic acid, so he can push himself to his max all the time. And that's a joke in the one movie. On your left.
Yes, right? On your left. Yes, on your left, yes.
Because he's running as fast as he can, whereas Sam can't.
Oh, he's running as fast as he can. Sam's running as fast as he can. It's just, yeah.
Well, Sam's jogging. He's keeping a good pace, doing what a regular human can do. But Cap is going full fucking tilt, nonstop.
Yeah, he's just able to do a sprint for an hour. Well, even the best Olympic athlete can only do a sprint for a couple minutes.
Not even a couple minutes.
Well, I'm trying to be very generous, and then the body just refuses. Like, it's not even about willpower. Your body just refuses. But yeah. Off of the treadmill now. Let's talk about the concept of the three Jokers. When they first brought in the three pictures, and Red put it best, the comedian, the clown, the clown prince of crime, and the sadist, right?
Yeah.
Well, I called it the comedian, the killer, and the sadist.
Right. And one thing I do have to give the artist is the killing joke Joker never has his eyes revealed, matching that iconic scene of the actual shot taken. They never show his eyes. They just have, like, the glint of his eyes from underneath the hat. Thought that was very interesting artistic choice. But, you know, what does this mean? Where will this go? I don't know. And which Jokers are the three Jokers? Because Killing Joker is obvious, but the other two just look so similar. It's like, because none of the other two are wearing that stupid Scott Snyder shaved head look.
Well, then the image that Red posted, the comedian, like the classic, you know, Joker fish, clown prince of crime, that's the middle guy. And then you got the serial killer, which is the one with the wide brim hat from like Killing Joke. And then
the sadist
is the one on the right there, which is more or less how the Joker was presented prior to getting that dumbass haircut and having his face carved off.
The Silver Age Joker, the Mark Hamill Joker and the modern Joker is the best way to put it.
Okay.
Yeah, that works.
So obviously, it is the Clown Prince of Crime Joker that was the one that was killed at the end of this issue. Spoiler, by the way.
But the thing about the Joker, he's reinvented himself more so many times that there should be at least six Jokers, not three.
Distilling it down to three is a disservice, but again, it's I really thought that they were going to do something like something about the Joker in reinventing himself, because that's the line Joker even said, that he reinvents himself often. If I was going to have an origin story, I want it to be multiple choice. He doesn't ever have he doesn't have a clear method of operation. He has tropes he uses, like the laughing gas, the grinning corpses. That's something he uses, but it never goes, okay, he does this. This means he's going to do A, B, C. It means, okay, he did this. Holy shit, the Joker's in town. What the fuck's he going to do next?
Yeah. And then, you know, we go from Barbara into Jason fighting a bunch of Joker goons, you know, with a tattoo of the classic Joker Harlequin image from a playing card. And I can't help but wonder if Geoff Johns borrowed, heavily implied otherwise, that he borrowed that image from Dan Slott's run on Spider-Man, where all these criminals were getting like a goblin tattoo to signify their allegiance. And it's a particularly brutal fight. I mean, I can't remember the last time I've seen so many mooks get their teeth shattered and punched out of their brains like that. And like I said before, Jason's got that loop of the Joker backhand or forehand running through his head, and he almost gets taken out until he just goes full savage and breaks these guys. And I honestly thought, like, the guy that he smashed his teeth on the headstone, it was going to be like Thomas or Martha Wayne's gravestone for whatever reason, because,
well,
subtlety.
Let's talk about subtlety and gravestones here. What was the first panel of this comic again?
Yeah.
It's Bruce Wayne, after being injured, runs over with the Batmobile his parents' gravestone.
Yeah, the Batcave entrance is like behind the house, Bruce. You have to go around the house.
You have to go through the woods, down like the turnpike. It's like Bruce has always been extremely careful about not driving the Batmobile home.
He's probably got like a satellite or something masking goings on in the grounds from other satellites. You know, he's probably got Brother I-2 up there somewhere.
But that's regardless of the point that it's funny you brought up gravestones, because I can't help but think Red is right that they're going to imply something about Joe Chill Joker connection, because if you read the Wayne death flashback again, what is the one color that they show? There's only one color they show in these black and white panels, and that is red.
Yeah. Do have a theory about where Johns is going with this.
Well,
like, we've got three Jokers, and DC for the last few years through Rebirth and then Doomsday Clock and everything he's still trying to fix the greater cosmology, if I'm using that word correctly, the cosmology of the DC multiverse, which also ties into Scott Snyder's Death Metal. That's the current ongoing crossover event. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends this with his own twist on the idea that these are just multiple Jokers from the various eras of the DCU.
I think you're giving him a lot of credit, too much credit.
Well, he tried to... I didn't give him enough credit or too much credit to see what he was trying to fix the multiverse with Doomsday Clock, so I wouldn't put it past him to try that again.
That literally is what they're supposed to be, because one of the Jokers is way older than the other.
Yes. 15 years older, but noticeably older. One thing I do have to add is there's one... I'm getting a theory now. It's probably not a real theory, probably not going to be true, because, again, I don't know what's going to be done with it. There is, you have the Jokers convening, the three Jokers convening, And they're like, we need to do a recruitment drive. We need to make the perfect Joker. And there's something there that I've noticed. The pages with the Thomas and Martha Wayne's death, red is the predominant color. You have the Joker stealing the Ace Chemical toxin. Now, the one image that I can't help but feel like is trying to be symbolic, I'm saying trying, but I know it's failing, is you have Batgirl up above the tank, and then she's jumping down, only to zip line away. I am predicting that this is a not a serious prediction. This is a what crack theory prediction, so I'm thinking, 1% chance that the three Jokers are, as we said at the end of this issue, two Jokers are going to try to turn Barbara Gordon into a Joker.
I don't think that'll happen because the whole point is
1%.
Yeah, the whole point is they've been trying to hide the fact that there are three for many years, even though apparently all of Gotham knows there's three now.
Exactly. That's really fucking weird, isn't it? That the whole three Jokers thing is supposed to be like Batman hears it. It sounds eclectic and kind of weird and mysterious. And then all of a sudden everyone's like, we got one of them. There's another one over here. It's like they threw out their own premise for the whole three Jokers to create a brand new premise just for this miniseries.
I think you're a little incorrect there, Ben. It's not that everyone says there's the Joker was over here. No, Joker was over here. Joker's over here. Like they even have it in that scene where we first get to the Ace Chemical plant where the cops are arguing over, no, you ask me, the guy that took out the Moxons is the real guy. It's like, no, the guy that killed the stand-up comedian that used to be called Fat Man because he wore a Fat Man costume telling his jokes, that was the real guy. It's like, no, the real Joker was the one here at Ace Chemical. Like, they still don't know. And I'm probably giving Johns a little too much credit, but this is like a Joker version of how Batman, as much as the cops know he's real and what some people throughout Gotham City know he's real, most people treat him as a myth. So I think this is his way of trying to establish something of a myth for the Joker.
See, Ben just gave me a clue. But the thing is, it doesn't really make fucking sense when I look at it. Barbara Gordon is wearing her old costume from New 52. She changed it to the weird fucking purple one, remember?
Yeah, the Thrilla Killer one.
But she's wearing the New 52 Gail Simone one with the weird sticky gloves and shit in this. I think this is the past. I think that's going to be revealed that the fourth Joker, the Joker cut his face off.
So this is before the Joker cut his face off, is what you're saying?
Yeah. But that's another once again, 1%. It doesn't really make sense because suddenly everybody knows that there's three Jokers and has never been hinted before.
I mean, there have been three Joker sightings. I don't think everyone knows that there are actually three Jokers.
But
it's confusing, like the Joker is one to be.
Well, Batman talks to Jim Gordon over the radio and he says, I have one here. And then Jim says, great, we have another one there. That I think hints that at least some people in the upper echelons know of multiple Jokers. Because
possibly.
Batman is supposed to be the guy that's the premier expert on the Joker. If he says, I have one here, that means holy shit, there's more than one of these guys. And
yeah, but they don't know that's the real Joker. He's like, I got one guy here, I got another guy there.
Batman ever been not sure about that's what I'm saying, is all of a sudden, like,
has the Batman ever been sure about the Joker?
Well,
aside from the fact that he's one crazy mofo.
And also, this is the one that they kill is the Clown Prince of Crime version, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Silver Age Joker.
Yeah, so. And he wasn't even the one that did the crowbar, was he?
Yeah, he was.
He was? Okay.
Yeah, because I think. I think it's a little nebulous. He hadn't quite become serial killer Joker at that point, but Death in the Family did come after Killing Joke, if I'm not mistaken. But
they were, you know, they were really close in time. So Silver Age Joker's dead. Spoilers. Does this mean that Barbara will have her moment of satisfaction with Killing Joke Joker in this?
Probably, because Lyle Lovett Joker's dead.
So
Jason gets to kill him, but the thing is, he doesn't really kill him. He shoots him in the side of the head like Tyler Durden.
You know,
in other words, he doesn't really he doesn't really brain him. He just takes off the skin from the looks of it.
It could go either way. It could go either way. The one thing I do have to add is they try to do this whole dramatic thing where Barbara tries to stop Jason from taking the shot, and she misses with the batarang. And Jason's like, you wanted this too because you don't miss.
Yeah, or if he's going to play it off because, you know, clearly the batarang hit the gun. So, you know, it threw his aim off and, you know, Tyler Durdened him instead of straight up killing him. We'll have to wait till the next issue to find out if this Joker is really dead.
And yeah, he ends with Jason looking down, and he's like, "Hope I got the right one."
Yeah,
which is supposed I know Jason's like a little shit and all this shit, but all of a sudden, you know, I'm tired of the indiscriminate killing with Jason. I mean, the one thing that could make Jason as Red Hood work is him like being very, very selective of his targets. And in this, he's very unleashed, very, very indiscriminate. Like Jason's whole point of trying to be the Red Hood was trying to say, see, I'm a better Batman than you. I'm trying to show you that through controlled use of lethal force, it can be done right.
I don't know if it's anything that clinical. It's just, he's like, sometimes you got to put these guys down. Also, I think the violence overall in this issue is not that story-wise they've let Jason off the hook, is Fabrock's allowed to illustrate, you know, more carnage than normal because this is under DC's Black Label imprint, which is basically what they canceled Vertigo for because they have to, you know, branding. So Black Label
woke and went broke.
Yeah. So I think that's another element of it, not the only reason. I do want to say the scene where the Bat Family goes to the Gotham Aquarium and
the Bat symbol is a flashlight?
No.
Okay.
As the idea, you know, they fight in the Joker goons in this aquarium full of Joker ice fish. You got like the Joker shark, and they bring in the goons are all labeled with the Piff, Biff, Pow, Bam, which is a nod to the Adam West Batman. The little midget dude, I think, is a nod to other, you know, small people minions the Joker has employed in comics over the years, specifically from one episode of Batman Brave and the Bold where Joker got Batmite's powers for the episode. But that was the most entertaining thing, I have to say, is that whole fight in the aquarium. Like, this is just straight up classic Batman comic. You know, they're fighting a goon squad in some weird location, and shit goes south. And I kind of chuckled a bit when I was reading this earlier where, you know, Jason blows a hole in the shark tank and the little mini Harlequin gets taken out by the Joker shark, which... gruesome, yes. Like, over the top, surely.
Go ahead.
These are all references to Silver Age and 80s stories.
Yeah.
The biggest problem I have with this is Jason literally, in front of Batman, killed the midget by unleashing the shark on him. And Batman, all Batman says is, you know, we could have gotten information out of him.
It's long been established that Batman gives Jason a pass.
That's one hell of a pass.
Yeah, I know. The golden rule of Batman is we don't fucking kill, but okay, Jason can. Jason's my big boy.
Not to mention, go ahead.
My little boy.
My little damaged boy.
I do have one very, very, very minor nitpick is Joker is apparently using... Joker toxin on piranhas. I thought it was established in canon continuity that Joker toxin does not work on piranhas. Piranhas still look like they are frowning all the time. That's why Joker hates using it on piranhas. He's like, He's like, what's the point? They aren't smiling. They're frowning. Fuck this.
Well, two things. One, it looks like Gaggy, as they call the small person, looks like he got swallowed. Oh, it doesn't necessarily look like he got chewed, so he potentially could survive and, like, you know, cut his way out. And I don't think they've ever like, it was in that issue, yes, but I don't know if that's really a canonical thing. Plus, comic books. You know, if a police scientist can get showered in electrified chemicals and start running faster than the speed of sound, we can accept the fact that this insane clown found a way to actually Jokerize Barracudas.
Piranhas.
That was from the Batman episode, where the animated episode where Harley Quinn does it, and he's like, the whole thing is we have to hang them upside down so they look like they're fucking smiling. That's why I didn't do the goddamn scheme.
Because Joker says if you have to explain the joke, it's not a joke.
Yes.
But other than that, he has done it before in the comics, and yes, they were smiling in the comics.
All right, I stand corrected. I just distinctly remember Joker didn't like Jokerizing piranhas because they don't smile, but I'll take your word for it if it was in the comics. But they did note when they captured Silver Age Joker that, you know, he has razor playing cards and acid flowers. He hasn't used this in years. I think it's way too easy to predict where this will go, but I think Red had an interesting theory when I was talking to him earlier today that it is all in Joker's head, and these people that are being killed are body doubles.
The biggest clue that they're body doubles is the whole Red Hood guys.
Yes.
When fucking Jason Todd is wrestling around with them, one of them looks a lot like the fucking Joker.
Agreed.
It's almost like the whole trope about, oh, he's almost dead, this one's alive, is that they give you a clue before the guy dies. This guy doesn't give a verbal clue.
Right.
He's giving the reader a visual clue. That's my theory, is that the visual clue is the Joker is using body doubles, and the three Jokers are all personalities in his head.
And he basically just he just brainwashes these people to act as proxies of him.
Yeah. Because Grant Morrison already established a long time ago that the Joker does have multiple personalities. He does switch through. He does reinvent himself.
He shuffles his own deck.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that's always been about the character, because, you know, there's not just one garden variety brand of insanity in the world. There are, well, more than 3,100 flavors of crazy. So it's something that's always been interesting about the character, that, you know, he can be so many different types of crazy. And again, that plays into, like I said, my theory that these are different incarnations Joker from different, you know, parallel timelines of DC Comics history, which is, again, something that DC's been trying to fix ever since they shattered it with New 52. None of which really matters here, because, you know, you get to the thing where you'd think you'd just, like, take off the bat belt, pull out a bat bowl, and gag the Joker. Like, I don't think he's got acid-laced teeth. Oh, wait, he probably does. But none of this last thing would have happened. You know, Batman said secure him. I'm pretty sure that means gagging him. Like, you have to have, like, a bat gag or something, like that voice box thing they put on Loki in Avengers to, you know, shut the Joker up. Because if they had done that, it's cheap theatrics and tropey to not gag the guy who can, probably one of many characters, but definitely the Joker, can talk people to death.
There are good ways and bad ways of doing that, and I totally agree with you about the fact that the Joker is one of these very few people you muzzle. You know, I always think back of that scene in The Dark Knight where there's this veteran cop guarding the Joker, And the Joker's trying to get a rise out of him, and the guy just turn the veteran cops turns to the Joker and says, I'm a 20-year guy. I know the difference between someone who needs a lesson in manners and someone who gets off on it." And he just keeps standing there, and the Joker finally hits a nerve with, "I know your friends better than you do. You want to know which ones are cowards?" And then all of a sudden, then the guy's like, "Okay."
I think that particular character, I think that was supposed to be the Harvey Bullock of the Nolanverse.
Pretty
I don't
much.
know if he was actually named Bullock, but I'm fairly certain that was Bullock.
Wasn't his name, but yeah, he was pretty much characterized as Bullock. And the whole thing is, you want to know how your friends died and which one are cowards? It's all because he wants to grab a piece of glass that's next to his head
Yep.
and stab the guy. That's the whole conversation. That's why what it's for.
Right. But like I said, that's what the Joker does, is the Joker can take even like someone who's extremely experienced and make them do what he wants them to do. And I can't help but think that this scene and this Joker, he wanted Jason to shoot him. What this will lead down to, I don't know. And I think, I know it sounds like I'm building this up to be something great, and I really don't think it will be. I think this is going to be, I think when we see the conclusion, it'll be as disappointing as realizing that when the author said there are three Jokers, he literally means there are three dudes. And I hope that they're body doubles. I fucking hope so, but I can't help but feel like this is Geoff Johns and it's three dudes.
So like I said, my theory is Geoff Johns is still trying to fix the DC multiverse his way, and that's what the three Jokers are. It's they're three Jokers. They're all the Joker. It's just, like I said, different Jokers from different eras of DC history.
This is written by Johns. I thought it was written by Scott Snyder.
It's written by Geoff Johns.
Oh my
No,
God. It's
Scott
even worse than
Snyder.
I thought.
So
Wrestling,
who's
it's
who's
all over, man. Game over. Game
who
over.
who who is who is right, Brad? That me that it's probably just three dudes or JT, and this is a multiverse story.
Think you both have just as much of a chance of being right
My
this
God.
early on.
So we both have 1% to be right, Ben.
The three dudes, I think, is way more than 1%. The trying to turn Barbara Gordon into a Joker was the 1% crack theory, and I admit, totally admit, fucking crack theory. It's just the fact that this author is trying to do symbolism with images that made me
And my
think.
theory of their doubles.
Yeah. Your theory, okay. Let's get percentages. Okay. Three dudes. Let's say 50%. Doubles, I'd
Now
say.
that I know it's John's, yes, I'm going to give it 50% that it's three actual dudes.
Okay. By doubles, I'll give you 40% three dudes. JT's theory, multiverse. I will give 8%. My theory, crack theory, trying to recruit Barbara to be a Joker, 1%, and that leaves us 1% for error.
I'm going to give JT's theory probably 50%. My theory, 30%.
Okay.
And your theory, a little more than 1%. We'll say,
The crack theory.
yeah, 9%.
Okay, so what about it's just
The
three
only
dudes?
reason why I'm giving your theory such a high remark is because of wokeness. It's time for a female Joker.
It's
Yeah,
just
but they did that already.
this image of the of like I said, Geoff Johns is trying to be a visual storyteller. Geoff Johns wanks off to fucking Watchmen like no other comic book writer ever seen. And if you go through Watchmen and look at visual cues throughout the whole book, there's a shit ton of them.
I
And
should have known it was John's when I saw it was Watchmen style.
yeah. And I just can't help but feel like this means something.
Yeah. Although, won't you feel silly, Ben, when you find out that Geoff Johns faps off to My Little Pony comics and not Watchmen?
I think he has more than one fetish, and I think Hal Jordan being his Lord and Savior is one of them as well.
My th one of th Another theory I have is this is in the past, This is before Batman learned there are three Jokers, even though somehow he knows there's three Jokers, which kind of that alone gets rid of my theory. But somehow it's like they're going to reveal that the fucking Killing Joke Joker is the one with the fucking mohawk that cuts his face off. He's the psycho Joker. Because that's the edgiest Joker, and I want him to be my Joker.
I think the way...
I have one more fringe theory. Super fringe theory. That there will be, as Red predicted, a fourth Ultimate Joker. A fourth Ultimate Joker that will be 90% Heath Ledger Joker.
Well, before I get into my percentages, I think, like Red said, this is in the past. That this is definitely in the past. This is 4 years in the past, just after DC Rebirth 1, where Batman's looking into this, because I think story-wise, like him knowing there are three Jokers due to the Mobius chair, he wouldn't just let that lie as long as it has in our reality, if only because of, you know, scheduling and corporate chicanery and, you know, COVID-19. So this is set in that about at least 3 or 4 years in the past, you know, story-wise. I mean, we've got the current Joker, who definitely seems more monstrous and intelligent than anyone that's come before in the current Joker War storyline. But as far as, you know, the pie chart, see, my theory that it's three different Jokers from all alternate eras, I'm giving that 30%. That there's an Ultimate Joker and the three Jokers are, you know, understudies, like what Ben was saying, I'm going to give that 30%. And the rest, I don't know how I'd necessarily cut that up. I might just chalk that up and see, you know, we still got, I think this is, what, a three or four issue miniseries. So that last 40%, we still don't know a whole lot of what's going on. So I'm not particularly comfortable slicing up the pie any more than that.
So everything else is in a big stew.
Basically. We'll see what rises to the top. And I definitely think the Joker isn't dead. He's just incredibly fucked up because of Jason.
He's like the guy Steven Seagal shot in Glimmerman.
Yeah. I'm just thinking if the Joker was actually dead, Barbara would have, like, laid Jason the fuck out.
That was the whole point of the scene, was Barbara is not really as upset because she, quote, missed with the batarang. That's what Geoff Johns is trying to tell us.
It's almost like she wants Joker dead because he shot her
in the spine.
And when she meets the Killing Joke Joker, she's gonna have a breakdown.
But you're dead.
And then she's gonna get her own revenge. She's gonna paralyze him. Yeah, that's fucking awesome, because Jason shot his Joker in the head, and he got a head injury from his Joker.
Yeah. They have one of the...
It's like poetry, covers. It rhymes.
Yeah. They have one of the alternate covers for this first issue has the three Jokers sitting together, and there's somebody fourth, and they're playing like some weird Joker version of Solitaire. Might be this Ultimate Joker, might be Nightwing, because you see a little bit of blue on the one sleeve of the guy, so, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't know how much more we can say about this first issue. I told Ben before recording, folks, I'm interested to see where the story goes. I think the idea of the three Jokers is an interesting concept. I just don't think it's going to end as well as John's and editorial at DC expect it to be. I don't know. How do you feel about this going forward, guys?
Red, you go first.
Going forward, I think this is going to be a mess. I it's an interesting idea, but the wrong people are currently writing it. Like, if you wanted it, I know it's fucking sounds lame saying this, because a lot of people are going to get mad at me for saying this, but if you want the right writer to write something like this, you have to put Grant Morrison on it. And I know a lot of people fucking hate Morrison, but the man knows what he's fucking doing, and he actually reads back issues and studies up before he writes something. He just doesn't read fucking Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem, is somebody has been reading Wikipedia and they haven't actually been reading fucking backstories.
I agree. I think that is a big part of it. I think that trying to distill the Joker down to three Jokers, like, I agree with Red, is a mistake, because there are way more errors of the Joker than just three. I think that the errors they picked are kind of weird. I also think that I understand thematically why they picked them, but I can't help but feel like there's a weird decision behind it. I feel like whatever we're doing, trying to estimate Geoff Johns' next move, we should really like also be like, okay, and then let's lower expectations 50%, and remember that this is Geoff Johns writing it, so let's dumb it down another 50%, and then we'll figure out where he's actually going, because I feel like we're giving him way too much credit, even subconsciously, because we understand coherent storytelling, and this is Geoff Johns.
Is, like, you're talking about different eras, like, what about the 50s era joke?
Absolutely.
What about the 60s era Joker? What about the Joker that, like, I know they're trying to push that this guy is a 60s era Joker, that he's like Biff, Bam, Pow kind of thing, but that's not how he looked.
No.
The guy who has a dance competition with Robin and then goes to fucking Arkham Asylum after he loses.
The guy without any fucking violence. The guy who had the boner.
Exactly. What happened to him? Where's that fucking personality?
Where's Cesar Romero?
Exactly.
Like, it should be Cesar Romero, Mark Hamill, and Heath Ledger. If you're going to distill it down to three, which is still a disservice.
That's going for movies. That's not the comics.
I'm just saying, if you want to distill the base personalities of all three Jokers, Cesar Romero, like the classic Joker that you're talking about, Mark Hamill, who is still a comedian but has an edge to him, and then Heath Ledger, which is just all edge.
Yeah. Well, I would definitely like to see that happen, Ben. I think you're unnecessarily complicating whatever story Johns is going for. We get these three versions.
By making it deep. Well, I have to remember this is a kiddie pool.
Ben, there's nothing. I'm not saying he's trying to make it deep.
No, I'm saying trying to make it deep while he's in a kiddie pool, and I have to remember that. Thank you for reminding me.
Wow, that's not even remotely what I was saying, and you can go suck a dick. I was trying to say is the more you put in here, this is literally too many cooks. You take these three archetypal primal versions of the Joker, and you run with it. There, with those three, there is more than enough material to make a decent story. Whether or not the final product is decent, I don't know, because I haven't read the whole comic yet. But, yeah, I would love to see Heath Ledger Joker and Nicholson and, you know, Cesar Romero and Hamill and the one from, you know, Batman Brave and the Bold, voiced by Jeff Bennett, and the one from, like, the original, like, Batman number one, which was the first appearance of the Joker. Just the more you put in there, the more you ultimately kind of dilute the punch.
What about the Kevin Michael Richardson one?
That one can go die in a fire.
The crap man. But anyways, I think we're repeating ourselves. So I think we can wrap this up with saying it's way too early to tell. And I also really think that there is just, we are giving way too much credit in this. And I think we're going to be disappointed when issue 2 and issue 3, et cetera, come out. This your host, Ben.
JT from Saskatoon.
Red Ink.
And we're saying goodnight.
So long.
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?